This is week three of a series called Connected, and you can see by the banner we have over here that we hold to the belief that we're connected to a lot of different entities. 2 weeks ago, we talked about being connected to God and how important that is. Last week, we talked about something that's equally important, because if you can't be connected to yourself, then you're going to have a hard time being connected to God, being connected to fellow believers, non-believers, whoever. And so today we want to continue. We want to talk about the aspect of being connected to those who are like-minded, those that you would call believers or Christ followers, and following that connection. I don't know if I want to try this or not, but I'm going to try it. And if it's not going to be good, I'm not going to try it. It's not hooked up. So anyway, the body of Christ is often as referred to in Scripture, this group that believers belong to. Scripture describes it as being the body of Christ. And we find this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. So, in math, we would say we would be looking for the common denominator. What is the common denominator in that scripture? Of? Okay, the Spirit of God is the thing. It's kind of the muscle that holds us all together. Okay? And so this is what causes us to all be one body, one group, one mind. It's the Holy Spirit. And if you've been around Windworks very long, we have a very firm belief that that Spirit, that representation of Jesus Christ, is in you. Every one of you. In fact, if you walk out on the street, downtown Olympia, which is kind of scary sometimes, I understand that, so be careful what time of day or night you do it. But if you walk down the street in downtown Olympia, the fact that so many people do not understand is that that same Spirit is in everybody you're passing on the street. Because it is that Spirit of God, that representation of God, that keeps people breathing, walking, thinking. God is in them. Another text in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who form, or many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay. Look around at those around you. And we got a lot of people missing today, but that's okay. Look around at those around you. They're part of you, y'all. They're part of you. Yeah, I still haven't gotten Dallas out of my blood, sorry. But because the Scripture makes it very clear, you belong to everyone else.
That's right.
And what you're going to hear me say is that, and I know there's a lot of different things, and we're going to talk about this morning, there's a lot of different things that pull us away at various times from the body. And what you need to understand is that when you've been pulled away, when you're not here, you are missed. Okay? It's like my right index finger taken off for a month to take a vacation or something. It would be missed because it has a very specific function. All right? And you all have a very specific function here. Yeah, we've got a lot of creative people, talented people who lead up in front all the time. But you know what? We don't do well just worshiping seven or eight of us up there at a time. It can be done, but there's so much more collective energy and so much more power when we're the whole body's together and we can worship. The energy level rises. And so understand today that you, no matter how much you'd like to be, no matter how much you try to be, you are not alone as a worshiper of God. As soon as you become a Christ follower, you are hooked into a greater number than yourself. And you have that connection, you have that role through being a member of the body of Christ, that when you're not there, there's a part of us missing. So, after Romans, let's take a look at what 1 Corinthians 12:27 says. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, as we just said. In Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Continuing, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken or easily broken. So the Bible's making it very clear that one is the loneliest number. And that there's so much more power, there's so much more benefit to having two or more. You know, in school, we have a math program in the middle school called Connected Math. And one of the whole aspects of Connected Math is you get to have at least a math partner, and sometimes in my room I have them seated in groups of four, and so there's a math group. And we throw a problem out there, and these different partners or these different groups try to solve a way of, you know, finding the answer to that. Now, that's different from how most of you were taught. Most of you in math class, you sat while the teacher went up here and said, okay, this is how you do it. Now, you do that. They're not doing math that way anymore. Now we just take a real-life problem and we throw it out there and we ask the kids, how would you solve this? You know, get together with your math partner or your math group and try to find a way among the two or four of you that you could solve this problem. And so we give them 10, 15, 20 minutes sometimes, depending on the complexity of the problem. And at the end of that, we say, okay, now, how did your group solve it? And boom, they come up with some algorithm that they've made up, some formula that they were able to come up with the answer. Good job, right answer. This group, how did you solve it? And lo and behold, they went a different way, came up with the same answer, got it right, but their algorithm was different than this group over here. Same thing over here, this group got a different, same answer, but a different route to it. And what they find out in math now is, guess what? There's not just one way to solve a problem. Because choice A will click with some of the kids, choice B will click with some of the others, and choice C, boom, seals the deal with others. And so this is the whole thing, the power of more minds coming together. My wife and I, and I'll use her name because she'll freely admit this, even though she's not here to defend herself. We sometimes, that's fine, it's being recorded, she can hear it. And by the way, good morning to all of you who are listening via the internet. Glad that you're with us today. But my wife and I, we often, half-jokingly, tell people that we're both half-wits. And the fortunate thing is we're together because together we're a full wit. And that's the beauty of being with different people, bodies of believers, the groups of people that we have here. John 15, verses 12 through 13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And so, and the reason I throw this verse in there is because I'm very, very aware of and very cognizant that the power behind connection, and I don't care if you're talking about being connected to God, being connected to yourself, to believers or non-believers, the power behind connecting successfully is that word up there in the red. It is the foundation. It is the thing that all other things must be built upon, because if you're not doing it in love, then you're just a noisy entity in this world. And so I want to make sure that we understand what foundation we're building upon when we talk about being connected. And that's why we look at John 15. In Romans 1, verses 11 and 12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. One of the other blessings, one of the other benefits of being a part of believers is that you can come here week in and week out and be encouraged. Amen. I live in the same world you do. I get kicked around. I get knocked down just as often as you do. And if I didn't have a place to come here where y'all pick me up and encourage me and kick me in the behind and say, get back out there and do it again, I don't know what I'd do. But there's a whole lot of people in our community who don't know what to do. And so we've got to continue to show the blessing, continue to show the benefit of being hooked together, being connected with people who share the same goals, vision, and purposes. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I put out that email to most of you. Apparently, I got to learn how to run our email system here. But I put out that email early in this week talking about Jacob. Did you know that when you prayed for Jacob this week, you were fulfilling the law of God? These are not my words, y'all. It's right there. When you carry each other's burdens. See, God knew what he was doing because you are created in the image of God. You have God's DNA in you, and part of that says you need to be connected. And you need to be connected so that you can carry each other's burdens, that we can mourn during the times of mourning, that we can encourage in times of disappointment, we can celebrate in times of celebration. We are connected. And by being thus connected, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same foundation, love, being one in spirit and purpose. Consider others better than yourselves, and also look to the interest of others. Is there anyone in their right mind who would not want to be a part of a group like that? I submit no. And that's why we continue to go fishing in areas where we believe people are looking for friends. Okay? And that's why we continue to post ads on Craigslist. That's why there's going to be a Facebook group, WinWorks Fellowship, because we're going to put our spin on what it is to be a Christ follower and be connected and all the benefits of it. And what I'm finding extremely amazing is with the ad that I've been posting on Craigslist, when the ad is 3 or 4 days or less old, I'm getting a minimum of one hit a day on it, or one response. Who knows how many hits it's getting, but a minimum of one response up to 3 responses a day. And if you go on to Craigslist under Olympia and you look up there in the top left corner where it says groups, that's where you'll find the ad. And the headline says, looking for friends? Question mark. People are looking for friends. People are looking for connection. And Bob's going to talk a whole lot more about that next week. Because this week we're kind of dealing with connecting with people who come within this circle of friends here, this wall, these walls, or those who have already experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our focus in talking about the benefits of today. Also in 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage each other with these words. Encourage one another and build each other up. Let me tell you, one of the reasons that I was so passionate about being involved with starting WinWorks over 10 years ago was because for too many years I had been in churches where they felt like their job was to tear you down when you came to church every week. You know, you all know what you did wrong this week, okay? I don't need to stand up here and say, you bunch of lousy sinners, change your ways or you're going to H-E double hockey sticks. You know, y'all, you're bright. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. And so my role, Bob's role, the role of worship team, the role of anybody in leadership here, the role of any member here, is to encourage each other as we walk through those doors. Right. We come in bloodied. We come in battered. We come in crawling sometimes. We got to be there to pick them up and encourage each other. And that's part of the benefit of being connected with a group of believers, is because it's one thing you can count on. People come to church because they want to be encouraged. They don't come to church because they want to be stepped on, kicked, and booted. We get enough of that out there. Why go to church? We got to encourage each other. We've got to be there for each other. We got to cover each other's backs. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, our scripture this morning. And let us consider how we may spur on one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, is there anybody here this morning who thinks that our world is a better place all around, generally, than it was 20 years ago? You guys, we're going down the toilet. Okay, this world is wearing itself out. We've worn out the majority of natural resources already. Our world is dying. The polar caps are melting. We are not getting better year by year. Take a look at the crime statistics. Take a look at what industries create the most money. And they're all connected with areas of addiction, weaknesses, and so on and so forth. We're not moving closer and closer to heaven as a world. Okay? We're slipping and sliding further and further away. And so, yeah, we see the day approaching. We see the writing on the wall, the light at the end of the tunnel. We know where we're headed. And so this scripture in Hebrews tells us we got to raise the level of encouragement here. We got to raise the bar of giving out love to people, because the day is approaching. And so we need to get a little bit more serious about what we are doing. And then again, Hebrews 13, three chapters over, says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Don't back off. Don't do less. Do more. Keep on loving. Well, there are types of bodies. this is going to go really well. You know, as most of you have known, the other computer had an owie, and so it's been sent off. And so I had to download this PowerPoint on this one. And that is not how the slide looked when I downloaded it. So this is going to be real interesting, but I don't care. We're going to walk through this. There are different types of bodies. Physically, there's different types of bodies. You know, when we've worn it out, or we've had a tragic accident, or something's happened, one type of body in our world is a dead body. Okay? Unfortunately, all too many of you have seen photos or maybe even experienced a dead body. It's probably one of my greatest personal areas of frustration, is that thing called death. And seeing the shell of what someone used to be. So, we have dead bodies. Oh yeah, there's a dead body. We have paralyzed bodies. And, you know, for a lot of people, they kind of are in that existence of being alive but yet almost dead, because their body won't do what, you know, their mind wants them to do. And so a lot of those who experience paralysis wish they were dead. But we have dead bodies. We have paralyzed bodies. We also have obese types of bodies. And this is, you know, I think we told you this a few weeks ago. This next generation, and when I'm talking about the next generation, Generation Y, which is the younger generation now, for the first time in probably 100, 150 years, Generation Y's life expectancy is now less than the generation before it. Now, that can change, but the way it is right now, their life expectancy is less than Generation X. And the reason is obesity. Our sugar intake and the rise in, you know, diabetics, the rise in high blood pressure, all of the things that go with it. So there are obese bodies that we deal with. And then there are distracted bodies. These are the ones who, you know, through whatever form of addiction or distraction, boy, they're somewhere else. They're distracted. And having to deal with those who are distracted, particularly in the classroom, as many of you in this room know, it is a challenge. I feel like I need to be dressed like SquarePants Bob or Bob SquarePants, whatever he is. SpongeBob, there it is, SpongeBob SquarePants. See, Ethan hasn't been around for a while, so I lost the name there for a minute. But, you know, to get the attention of so many kids, because as soon as let me tell you what, we go to outdoor school every year, and they play that goofy theme song to that show, SpongeBob. Every sixth grader in the place sings along, word for word, that theme song. And it's like, oh my goodness. So, to me, an effective teacher. But then we also have the bodies that are fit and healthy. There are actually some people in our world who are fit and healthy. And we have some of the parallels that run in this to Christians. For those who are dead, Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 3 reads like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So what kills us spiritually? Transgressions and sins. You know, if it's a Christian who's playing around with transgressions and sins, it's going to get you. It's eventually going to kill you because you cannot serve two masters. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to choose. So you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. So those who are spiritually dead are those who have gone down that road and become in a state of being dead. And there's also a parallel. Okay. There's also a parallel to being paralyzed in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And this is one I'd like to have you turn in your Bible, because when they get this long, I don't put them all in there. So Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12, we want to talk about those who experience paralysis. And this is going to be coming from the NIV version, Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus after digging through it, lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." So, the paralysis that happens to us spiritually is, what again, that sinful nature, dealing in the sinful ways of the world, can do to us. It paralyzes us. And of course, the antidote to that is Jesus saying, "Your sins are forgiven." And so when we have that state of paralysis, we need to go to the source of forgiveness. Okay, the next parallel after paralysis, obesity, Revelation 3:17. It reads this way. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You know, obesity is a fact of overindulgence. Even though a lot of obese people want to say it's their thyroid. I'm sure with some, that is true. But not with the whole population who has experienced obesity. It's not everybody's thyroid going south. And so it's this overindulgence. And this is the condition of the church of Laodicea that's being described in Revelation 3:17. It's this overindulgence which leads them to say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. They deceive themselves. And I'm going to throw into that same description those bodies of believers who say, you know what? We got all the truth we need. It's all right here. We don't need any more truth. We got the truth. We are the truth. No. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And so we got to realize that we're wretched, we're pitiful, we're poor, we're blind, and we're naked. And we need encouragement. And we need to have each other's backs. And then there are the distracted bodies within our church. James 1, verses 13 and 14 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Okay, we are distracted because we allow ourselves to be dragged away and enticed by whatever it is that's distracting us. And so we need to be focused as Christ followers. And then there are the fit and healthy. And the fit and healthy, I think one great description of them is found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Those whose purpose in life is to bring glory to the name of God and impact His kingdom, they're fit and healthy. They know what their exercise program is. They're in the Word, they're praying, they're fit and healthy. And so I guess we can ask, why do we need to be connected to fellow Christ followers? In fact, if you read the message thought this morning, I put on the very first question in the thing was, why go to church? And that's a question a lot of people ask. And probably every weekend, there's a lot of people in here who are asking that question. Why go to church? I don't want to go to church today. Well, one of the reasons is because we're praying for you every Saturday morning. As worship team comes together, we say that prayer, you know, Lord, if there's anybody who should be here today, we pray that you would give them, first of all, the desire to be here, and then give them the strength to make that happen. I know how tired you can be on Saturday morning. Trust me. I know how tired you can be on Saturday mornings. And so it is a challenge many Saturday mornings for you to come and be here. But I am very appreciative that you are, because with my whole concept of what the body of believers is really all about, when you're here, we're more whole. When you're not here, there's a void. There's something missing. Because every one of you brings something to this worship service. And you got to start believing that, because it is the truth. So Jerry modeled very clearly a little bit earlier the whole concept of getting your back. And that's a phrase that we use, which basically means, I'm there for you. I've got your back. I'm not going to let anything within my power, I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. I've got your back. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you right now. I want you to turn to the person on your right, and I want you to tell that person, I've got your back. Go ahead. Okay, now I want you to turn to the person on your left and say the same thing. I've got your back. Now, that can be some real empty words unless you mean it. Because again, I'm going to submit that when any part of the body goes missing, we all suffer. Okay, I've known a few vets in my life, and in the war that we were probably, those of you in my age group, were most intimately involved with was the Vietnam War. But you know, it seems like we've had plenty of wars to talk about since Vietnam. Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, we just have a thing about war. And we see these guys and these girls come back, and a lot of them are missing limbs. And I'm here to tell you, their body is very keenly aware of the loss of those body parts. Someone loses an eye. In fact, someone goes blind. The body is very keenly aware of the loss of the eyesight, and it starts to compensate, as do we as a spiritual body. When someone goes away, someone's ripped away, you know, even if they move away, we compensate. But the whole thing is, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe that, you know, when everyone's here, we are at our best because the body's whole. Now, we are not, you know, think about it. We're 10 years old. We're fourth graders, because that's the age of fourth graders. We're 10 years old. Are we done growing? I hope not. You know, I do have a little girl in my class this year who's been diagnosed with Turner syndrome, and without hormone therapy, she would be done growing, and she probably stands about that tall as a sixth grader. But she's under, you know, they figured out what it was, so now she's under therapy for it, and she'll start to develop a little bit more normally. But the whole thing is, we're 10 years old. We're going to keep growing, and that means we're going to keep adding seats wherever we are. We're going to keep adding seats, and we're going to have greater numbers, and we're going to grow into a healthy, maturing church. But when body parts are missing, we're not at our best. There's, you know, we're not our healthiest. And so as you look around and you see some of the body parts missing this morning, my challenge to you is to share some of what you heard today or what you already believed coming in about our connection with fellow believers, and let them hear what you think. Let them hear, you know what? Church was great today, but you weren't there. Something was missing. And if you want to say, we weren't at our best because you weren't here, it's okay. Now, believe me, since Bob has come into my life as fellow pastor here at WinWorks, I've taken perhaps too much advantage of it. But, you know, I all of a sudden have been finding times to be called here, there, and everywhere on Saturdays. And so there's a lot of Saturdays that I miss out. But there's a difference. Guess what? When I'm not here, guess what I'm thinking about? You guys. I'm thinking about, what am I missing? I know I'm missing something. And so, you know, to me, it's not quite the same thing we're talking about. I'm talking about those not who go away for a week or two on vacation or have a trip here, have a trip there. I'm talking about those who are here once every 2 months or once every 3 months. I'm talking about those who go out of sight for 3, 4, 5, 6 months at a time. Those are the ones that we have to somehow express to them that we are better with them than we are without them. Now, I understand that some of those require extra grace. But don't we all? Don't we all? And that's part of our doing God's will, is encouraging those, encouraging them to be here and be a part of us. You know, I've had too many people tell me who have slipped away that it was so easy to slip away, and it's so hard to come back. It's so easy to just start sleeping in Saturday mornings, and then when you decide to, you know, you want to come back, it's so difficult to come back. And so we need to understand that. We need to be aware of that. But we also have to not let that stop us who are here week in and week out from reaching out to those. Because we are connected. When you become a Christ follower, whether you like it or not, you become connected. You are a part of the body. I've read those scriptures to you this morning. And I also read to you what that, you know, what requirements come with that being a part of the body. A, you stop trying to tell other body parts what they need to be doing because they have different roles than you. And B, you've got to take seriously your role as part of the body and just be the best body part where you are as you can be. Believe me, I want my heart to be the best heart that it can be. And I don't want my heart to be jealous of my eyes. And vice versa. And so, being a part, being connected, when we can do that healthfully, then we are going to do a marvelous job in connecting with the rest of humanity, as Bob's going to talk about next week. How can we connect with those out there if we experience no connection here? If we connect here and we're healthy here, everybody out there is going to say, I want that.
That's right.
I want that. And so I just really challenge you to take seriously this commitment you made to the person on your left and your right this morning that you've got their back. Whatever may come, you've got their back. And as part of the leaders of this church, Bob and I commit to you, we've got your back. Whatever life throws at you, we've got your back. Let's pray. Father God, we live in a world where the enemy is continually trying to tear down all the good things in our lives. And that includes relationships. Now, there's no perfect church on this world, and I'm not even going to pretend that we're even close or, you know, on the path to being a perfect church, because it just is not going to happen this side of heaven. And so we're going to disappoint each other on occasion. The connection's going to feel strained, but you have declared in your word to us this morning that by being Christ followers, we are connected as a body of believers. And God, I just pray that we can take that and be serious about our commitment to you and our commitment to each other here. No, we don't have to be, you know, to go to church to be saved. But boy, when we're not at church, the body's not whole. The body's not healthy. And so I just pray that you'll encourage us this week to take seriously our commitment to being a part of the body of Christ, that you will challenge us to reach out to those who, you know, we don't see as regularly here as we'd like, to reach out and tell them how important they are to this body. And God, I just pray that it'll bring a total healing and growth within our church. And next week, as we talk about reaching out and connecting with the rest of humanity, the rest of those who don't have that relationship with you yet, I pray that you will afford us more and more opportunities as we grow. We're only 10 years old. We haven't even reached our teen years yet. God, we just want to continue to grow individually, spiritually, and as that health is shared here, that we'll be able to grow and touch and affect more of the people out there and impact the kingdom of God. So bless us this day. Go with us, and may we go in peace. May we go in your name and touch those around us is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for taking time from your weekend to be here. And I do pray God's blessing upon each of you, and as you realize your connection in this world. Blessings.